and welcome to the show, everyone. I'm Dr. TJ. With me, as always, is Erin, sitting over here in her co-pilot seat.
I'm here.
We never know every week if she's actually going to talk to us or not. We never know. So, if you're new to the show, this is a show that's all about educating patients. That's why it's titled Wellness 101. It's like a course. We're here to basically provide as much common sense, science-based healthcare and health information as possible. So, welcome if you're new. If you're not new to the show, thanks for tuning back in. Today we're going to be talking about fibromyalgia. Hundreds. I mean, it seems like, I don't know if it's been exactly hundreds, but tons of emails asking, hey, when are you going to do a show on this? When are you going to do a show on this? When are you going to do a show on this? And it's almost always fibromyalgia. There are tons. It's kind of nice because now we're getting people that are sending enough emails that are requesting topics for shows. I don't actually have to sit at home and say, what are we going to do a show on this week?
That makes your show prep a lot easier.
Yes, it does.
You know what people want to hear about? This one.
They want to hear this one. How do I know? No, I got 100 emails today.
Right. But also, this is what you see so often in the clinic. I mean, this comes in a lot. It just seems like the diagnosis has exploded.
Right.
And actually, kind of off topic here, sort of. I remember back when I was in law school, I was clerking for a firm, an insurance defense firm. And they're pretty much, I mean, going through like medical records for people. I was like, the word I am fastest at typing is fibromyalgia, because it was in every single, and I mean, it was just kind of funny. I'm like, you can tell what kind of, you know, firm I'm practicing with, because it was like, everyone had this. It's such a catch-all diagnosis.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially if you think, you know, insurance defense, I mean, people, when something happens and the pain doesn't go away, a lot of times you'll eventually get a diagnosis. I mean, there are so many things that can happen that will lead eventually to a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. And to me, it's kind of like chronic fatigue syndrome. It's one of those that you finally get to the point where they're like, we don't know. So if it's pain, it's fibromyalgia.
Right.
If you're tired, it's chronic fatigue. I mean, it's just...
That's basically what it's boiled down to. And this isn't downplaying this at all. There are tons of people that are suffering with pain. But this fibromyalgia as a diagnosis just kind of, it cracks me up a little bit, to be quite honest with
you. Well, I mean, and I think the thing that's frustrating to me is, I mean, fibromyalgia, I mean, means... muscle pain, right?
Right.
I mean,
fibrous muscle pain, fibromyalgia. Yeah. Myalgia is just muscle pain.
So you come into a doctor's office and continually tell them that you have muscle pain, and then they eventually give you a diagnosis that says you have muscle pain.
Like, right. I mean, right. That's like coming in and saying, I have chest pain. And they say, oh, you have angina. We're going to give you this diagnosis. And you walk around with that forever.
Right.
It's just chest pain.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've really
what
just diagnosed
it?
Yourself. Right. Exactly.
Right.
How do we fix it?
Here's another one. Oh, I have heartburn. I have acid reflux. Oh, well, you have GERD.
Yep.
That's a fancy way of saying you have heartburn.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to tell you exactly what you have in medical terms and throw it right back at you. Thank you for doing my job.
And there is never a discussion of like, why do you have this?
Right.
I mean, nobody ever starts to, you know, go down the path of...
God forbid we find out what's causing it.
Right. Which is why we're here.
Right. This is why we have a class. So... there are a lot of people that have a diagnosis of fibromyalgia, a lot of people clinging to a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Most of them know that it's pain. Most patients know that it's pain. They know that, you know, there's something that's causing it, but they may not know what because they haven't had it their entire life. So it came on at some point in time. I think the most recent statistics on it, there are like 6 million people that have been diagnosed with it. But I think that's a little low. To be quite honest with you, because unless my patient base is every person that has fibromyalgia, everyone comes in almost complaining of fibromyalgia. It's just a rampant thing. So the big thing with it, fibromyalgia, 90% of it is women, and mostly women aged 20 to 50. So,
which is when we know that so many other things are commonly going on in the body.
Right.
And so it's not surprising. And I know you had mentioned this before, but while we're kind of laughing at fibromyalgia as a diagnosis, it is not, I mean, anyone who suffers from it.
It's not a laughing matter.
Oh, gosh, no, not at all. And I mean, I think that's what's frustrating is that a lot of people who, you know, who are living in this pain will, you know, go to the doctor numerous times a lot, you know, for a diagnosis, eventually get a diagnosis. And that seems like somewhat of a comfort. but then it's never actually addressed. You get a, you know, medication for it that may or may...
They'll throw Lyrica at you or something like that.
And an antidepressant, usually. Yeah. I mean, and so, but nobody ever looks for the cause, and it's something we've, you know, wanted to discuss on here for a while because it's one of those, you know, topics that, you know, we've discussed a number of them on the show where there is always a cause. Like, this is a symptom of something going on.
Right. And
it should
a lot
never
of times,
be the end game.
Yeah, a lot of times people that have fibromyalgia, they're also complaining to their doctor about their fatigue level. They're super tired. They may be complaining about headaches. They're likely talking to them about the fact that they can't sleep. They either can't fall asleep, they can't stay asleep. They wake up at the same time every night. I mean, it's all over the board as far as sleep
goes.
Well,
and also, like, anxiety and depression are common symptoms also, which makes sense if you're in pain. I think I've probably said it on here before, but as someone who dealt with chronic pain for, you know, quite a while, I think it is extremely difficult to not become depressed if you have chronic pain.
Right.
I mean, it's something that if you haven't lived through it, it's really hard to even comprehend what that is like to live day in and day out in pain. And the anxiety makes sense also because, you know, it may go away every once in a while, but then you never know when it's going to come back. You can't make plans because you never know. You can't plan anything. There's just this constant anxiety of, okay, how long am I actually going to feel like a normal person before this comes back again? But those two symptoms, anxiety and depression, often, you know, get you an antidepressant instead of someone actually looking to see, okay, what's causing this.
Exactly. I couldn't have said that better myself. It's so accurate. I mean, the sad thing is, pick a chronic condition. I don't care what it is. Adrenal fatigue, the fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis, or any other, you know, thing like that. They all of them have in common. There is not a quick fix. You're not just going to be given, oh, here's this magic pill, take this and everything will be fine tomorrow. It's not like that. It took you time to get to this position that you're in. It's going to take time to undo it, right? You don't go on vacation and drive somewhere and drive 8 hours to or 12 hours to the beach. How long does it take to get to the beach from here?
I don't know.
So you're going to the 12 hours. Liz still told me about 12 hours. So we're going to the Gulf. So you take off and go down to the Gulf and it takes you 12 hours to drive there, right? How long is it going to take to get home? Well, it's going to take another 12 hours of driving. You're not just going to miracle back all at one in 1 second.
Right. Well, and if you think about it in that way, you know, the recovery is generally much quicker than what it took you to actually get into to that position, right?
That's right.
I mean, so if it takes you 10 years to develop fibromyalgia, we're not saying, you know, give us 10 years and we'll have you feeling okay again. But I think that, you know, it's a good point. That's what one of the things that's very frustrating with fibromyalgia is the fact that generally these prescriptions are given and what we see in the clinic all the time is the vast majority of people who have fibromyalgia are not looking for that quick fix. They want a fix.
Right.
They're willing to do the work, but no one is even suggesting that there's work to do. They're just given a pill.
Right.
So when they, you know, when it's explained to them, hey, we need to check these other things because something is causing this. I mean, they're more than willing to do that because that's what they wanted all along. They were never given the option. And that's what I think is so frustrating.
Right. And yeah, it's funny. I often ask people that they're suffering from a chronic condition, you know, what are you willing to do to get better? What are you willing to do? Because sometimes people just aren't willing to do certain things. And, you know, if someone's not willing to do something that is extremely important for their well-being, I let them know up front.
Right.
Right. But 99% of the people literally look at me quickly. Most of the time, people are looking down or, you know, we're not staring each other in the face because in an hour and a half long consultation, it's kind of weird to stare at someone for an hour
it
and
is.
A half.
So, I mean,
we're kind of all looking around and drawing on the board and having a good time. But when that question is asked, there's definitely eye contact. And 99% of the time, people look at me and they say, I will do whatever is necessary to make this go away.
Right. Well, and fibromyalgia is definitely one that, you know, we see that. We've talked before. There are certain conditions, and I think I brought this up before. I know diabetes is one of them where, you get more resistance from people.
Yeah.
You know, when you say, because diabetes is going to be a diet change, I mean, that's a big, that is going to be a big part of it. And
right.
we do see some resistance, but, you know.
The resistance goes away when I actually draw the physiology on the board.
And also
because
once they start seeing a little bit of results, they're
yeah.
like, oh, wait, this
yeah.
actually does make
yeah.
a difference.
And if I still have resistance after drawing the physiology on the board, I will go get the textbook and show them, look, this is the medical textbook of physiology by Guyton. And here's where it says what's going on. This is something you learn first year of medical school. It's super, super simple. And here's where the boat is being missed.
Or you have where they finally are like, well, let me talk to my kidney doctor. Let me talk to you. And then they come back and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
Turns out he's totally on board. You're right. That's what you do.
And then they're looking at me going, why didn't my kidney doctor tell me
exactly.
that a long time ago? I'm like,
right.
well, see, that doctor can't tell you that because that's not what their job is.
Yeah.
So their job is just to watch your kidneys get worse.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. And make sure that they don't get too bad.
Right.
But, yeah, so I kind of let us off on the diabetes tangent. So my
That's
whole
okay.
point with this is
it's a chronic disease, too.
Right. is that fibromyalgia patients, I mean, and I think anyone who's dealt with chronic pain gets this, that once, you know, you're dealing with it, you are generally at a point where you're like, tell me what I need to do to get better.
Right.
I'll do whatever because this is not an okay situation.
Right.
It's not livable. And so that, you know, that's what fibromyalgia sufferers are dealing with day in and day out. And, you know, that's the big push of this show is to say, hey, we can actually get rid of it.
Right.
You don't have to take a prescription and we'll get rid of the chronic pain.
That's right. And when we come back after this break, we are going to get into some of the common fibromyalgia symptoms and talk about them in a little more detail. Hang with us. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, you missed the first segment where Aaron got really riled up, got off the rails, and went a little, a little bit. So she talked more than she has
more
a long time.
More than normal.
Yeah, more than normal. Even Liz noticed more than normal. Wow. So we're talking about fibromyalgia today. Before we left, we said that we were going to come back and start talking about common fibromyalgia symptoms. So we'll do that. So the fibromyalgia is there's so many variables and it varies drastically from person to person. Like two people that can come in and say, oh, I have fibromyalgia, may have two sets of completely different symptoms, the length of time they've been dealing with it, and completely different ages. I mean, it's just all over the place.
Because it's kind of a catch-all
at this
point.
It is.
You
it's
know?
A catch-all. And there's no way to know. Most of the time, people don't know how long if they have the pain, how long it's going to last, and when it will return.
And that's the thing, is that symptoms will oftentimes disappear, and
yes.
then they'll return, and that gets frustrating, too, and that's going to vary person to person.
Right.
So it's as much, you know, criticism and, you know, kind of judgment that fibromyalgia sufferers feel like they get from the general public who don't, you know, and doctors feeling like they don't understand. Unfortunately, they get it at times from other people who are suffering from fibromyalgia
they're like, that's not what I have.
Right, exactly. They're like, well, you will have days where you're totally fine. And you'll have someone who said, no, I don't have full days where it really varies.
Right. Exactly. That's like kids in a class taking two different versions of the test, test A and test B, and they look at number four and they appear to both have number four correct, but one put answer A and the other put answer D, not realizing that they have two different tests.
Right.
So, yeah.
And some people have the same test and still come up with a different answer. So,
that's true.
I mean, that goes a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Oh, so true. So true. So with this whole, you know, fibromyalgia thing, what really frustrates me is there is a diagnostic criteria for it. So there are these rules and guidelines that need to be followed. And you have these trigger points and you have to be, there's like 15 different trigger points throughout the body. And you have to register pain with these little algometers, these little pain measuring devices in 11 of these 15 or 17, however many, it doesn't matter how many there are. And why doesn't it matter? Because no one ever goes through that criteria. No one. Because I ask, oh, you got diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Yes, my doctor told me that's what I have. Did they ever put their hands on you and measure anything or poke any points on your body that were tender? almost everyone says no. Once in a great while, I'll get one that says
yes.
Yeah,
every once in a while, some people.
And
yeah.
I'm surprised.
Right.
And I immediately ask for that doctor's name because I'm like, okay, this guy's got, he's on it.
Yeah. But at the same time, those of you who have fibromyalgia get that, okay, you could probably poke you anywhere.
And it's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. Right. So it's not, I mean, still the criteria is kind of silly.
But the fact that there's criteria and there are rules that you should follow to get there. And I bring this up because God forbid you go to that same doctor and tell that person, oh, I have leaky gut. Like, well, there's no such thing. There's no criteria for that. Well, I mean, come on. You just diagnose someone with fibromyalgia without doing the criteria. I mean, how can you possibly?
Yeah, but that's kind of a catch-22 also because, I mean, on the one hand, you can say, well, why aren't you doing the criteria so you can diagnose these people? So you don't want doctors saying that it doesn't exist, but at the same time, once it does exist, you're getting a prescription.
Yes, and you're going to get put into that box.
Right.
And once you're in that box, everything that goes wrong with you, they're going to try to put in that box.
Into fibromyalgia. Exactly.
Yeah, because we know that there are so many different things that can happen with it. It's like somebody coming in and saying, oh, my doctor thinks that my thyroid is a problem. And, you know, this I've got low thyroid. And then everything they have is blamed on low thyroid.
Right.
You know, it's like you go into the doctor. I give this example to people a lot in the office. I'm like, you go into the doctor and imagine you're sitting across from the doctor. There's this desk in between you. And the doctor that you go to see, we'll pick on fibromyalgia, is a fibromyalgia specialist. The box that they have on their desk says fibromyalgia. And you're going to go in that box one way or another. And everything that goes wrong with you is going to go in that box. Until something really, really, really far out there says, oh, well, maybe you're not, that's not fibromyalgia. Let me send you to this other specialist. And, you know, then you go into that specialist's office. And that specialist has a box that says, you know, whatever their specialty is, and they're going to fit you in that box, right? So everybody's getting put into a box. When you come into our office, instead of having one box on the desk, we have hundreds of boxes
on the desk. Right, because fibromyalgia should be like 20 boxes.
Right, right.
It's not one thing.
Right, that's exactly
they don't want to go through the, you know, well, I don't want to say they don't want to. They aren't trained to, and they aren't in general allowed to go through what it would take to figure out the cause.
Not to mention the just sheer amount of time
right.
that would be necessary to figure all of that out.
Exactly. And the cost. I mean, we've talked about this a lot before. I mean, while insurance doesn't cover generally what is in our clinic, I mean, some people get things reimbursed, but it's generally not. We have partnered. I mean, we have ways of getting the testing done. I mean, a lot of times we'll have people who do testing, you know, through our clinic and they take it back to their doctor and their doctor is like, oh my God, it's like $20,000 worth of testing. And we're like, we've worked really hard to make sure that is not what's going, you know, we're able to run the test.
Right.
But if you were going to run it through insurance, that's what it would cost.
So like, here's the, and the reason I say that there's a bunch of boxes, or Aaron said that there's a bunch of boxes with fibromyalgia, is because of the symptomatology associated. Things like fatigue, that's extremely common. Headaches, problems with memory, problems with sleep, even being diagnosed with a sleep disorder, having abdominal cramps. This is a weird one that's off the wall that no one ever thinks is fibromyalgia, but it sure in the world can be. Like Aaron said before, depression and anxiety both. And then there's this stuff kind of referred to as fibro fog. It's kind of like brain fog, except it happens when you're in pain, not when your gut's all out of balance.
But a lot of that happens when, you know, I also think so much of this happens when, you know, sleep disturbances are going to happen if you're in a lot of pain.
Right.
Memory loss. Well, it's really hard to remember things when you're in that much pain. I mean, your brain isn't going to work. Like I talked about before, depression and anxiety make sense if you're in a lot of pain.
Right.
So does fatigue, because it's draining
right.
to deal with that much pain on a daily basis.
Right. I mean, think about it. You know, if you're doing something and, you know, you stub your toe or you smack your, you know, thumb with a hammer, all you're concerned with at that moment is whether or not you broke your toe or your thumb. That's it. It takes over. You don't remember exactly what you were doing. You don't remember nothing. Right. It's that the pain wins.
Right.
And that's one of the big problems with fibromyalgia sufferers, is that the pain wins and it just debilitates them and takes them away from their being able to do their daily activities, or, you know, hang out with the kids, take the kids to practice and watch the, you know, games on the weekend and do all the stuff that they need to do.
Right. Exactly.
So, Not only that, another thing that a lot of people with fibromyalgia have is stiffness in the morning when they wake up. It's very, very difficult for them to get out of bed. They, you know, it takes a while. It's not just the fact that they're not able to wake up. It's the fact that they can't even get up and get going. They'll say things like, gosh, I feel like I'm 100 years old when I try to get out of bed. You know, and women that are 20 know that, well, this isn't an issue. Women that have this that are at the higher end of the common thing at 50 will want to throw out there, well, this is just getting older. Well,
yes.
No, it's not.
So often we hear, I have this, but that's age, right? Exactly. But I mean, other things, I mean, you know, sensitivity to, you know, light and loud noises and or different temperatures that people experience. And that's all because you're, you know, I mean, you've probably all heard the commercials where they say, you know, fibromyalgia is thought to be the result of overactive nerves in the body. I mean, which we don't disagree with, but why are they overactive?
Yeah. Why are they on fire? I mean, even when they show them in like their little comic drawings on the commercials, they show them with like red around them saying, yep, they're inflamed. Why are they inflamed?
Why are they inflamed? Why are we just, I mean, that is not the end of the discussion.
Like, right.
Well, we found out that must, you know, your nerves are overactive. Okay.
That's like why? Coming home and finding out that your house is on fire and the fire department shows up and says, well, your house is on fire. We're going to let that burn.
Yeah.
I mean, what in the world? The fire marshal doesn't come over to figure out what happened, who set the fire, what caused it. Nope. We see that your house is on fire. So we're going to let that go. So
yeah, or just the smoke alarm going off. That's hearing the smoke alarm going off, and you're just like, oh, smoke alarm. But like,
yep.
Nobody goes to look and see.
Where's the smoke?
Where's the smoke? You're just like, oh, there's a smoke alarm going off.
Right. It makes no sense. But, you know, some other things that people have, and this is what really makes having fibromyalgia complicated, and really even getting an accurate diagnosis with it and, you know, not being told that you're crazy is other things that are seemingly unrelated. Things like endometriosis. That's been associated with fibromyalgia. We talked about chronic fatigue, tension headaches. That's another one.
Mm-hmm.
Irritable bowel syndrome is a huge one. So we're talking about a digestive issue. Okay. We're talking about, you know, a hormone issue, and we're talking about pain.
Right.
How is it possible that they all work? Well, you're one human being.
Right.
It's all tied together.
Putting it into one box. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as saying, you know, like you have headaches. Like headaches could be caused by so many different things. I mean,
right.
A lot of people, you know, end up with migraines and are put on a medication. Well, what's causing it?
What if it were just chocolate and you just need to quit eating chocolate?
I mean, yeah, there's so many things. And I know you've said that I am talking way more in the show, but one of the reasons is, I mean, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. And to me, those were like, that was the trigger to me when I said, no more medical doctors. I'm going to figure out, I'm going outside of the system because it, like, I don't know what it was, but like getting those diagnoses, I thought they're not helping me. That's the end to them. And that means to them that we quit looking. And so I really want to stress that to anyone who's suffering with this. If you have a fibromyalgia diagnosis, this is not the end. That should be the trigger to you. It is time for me to start looking.
Right.
And figuring out what is causing this.
Right. I need to find a new path.
Because that means that we have reached the end of the road with my medical doctor. You know, he has gone as far as he's going to be able to take me.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we are going to recap the common symptoms again because we kind of went through those a little quickly. I'll say those the big ones again. And then we're going to get into the top 10 mistakes if we get through 10. I'm not sure. This is going to be a multiple part show. But we're going to start going through some of the mistakes that are common with people dealing with fibromyalgia and getting diagnosed with fibromyalgia. So you're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back. Today we're talking about fibromyalgia. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Erin's been talkative like nobody's business.
I have a lot really to say about fibromyalgia.
She does.
Apparently.
This is what happens when you diagnose somebody with like her with fibromyalgia. She's like, no, you see, that's not what happened.
You can tell the things that I've been diagnosed with.
What had happened was... That's exactly right. So before the break, we were talking about common fibromyalgia symptoms. I'm gonna talk about those. I'm going to run through those really quickly again. And then we're going to get into some mistakes that are associated with fibromyalgia. So the common symptoms we've rattled off, fatigue, headaches, memory issues, sleep problems, depression, anxiety, fibrofog, which is this fog, brain fog type thing that happens when you're in a lot of pain, lower abdominal cramping, things like endometriosis and IBS. Those are our big ones. I don't think I missed any there.
Well, and I mean, and the big thing is the pain, because with a lot of those others, I mean, unless you're complaining consistently of pain, a lot of times they'll say, well, this is depression, and those are all part of depression.
Right.
So, I mean, and it's not until you kind of, you know, bug them enough to say, well, no, I'm still in pain, and they're like, oh, well, maybe this is fibromyalgia. Yeah. Depression is actually a part of fibromyalgia. I mean, like, it just, it's a circular diagnosis, so.
Right, up, down, and around. Circular, all good things. What movie was that? It was an Adam Sandler movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
That's what I'm lost on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I forget. I remember the quote, though. Somebody will email and say, hey, that was this. So thank you for whoever's going to email that in. All right. So mistakes. So there are a lot of mistakes made by practitioners out there who are treating fibromyalgia. And we're going to talk a little bit about those. The first one, and this is one that really frustrates me because it's a lot more rampant than people realize, and that is autoimmunity. Either A, not looking into the fact that someone may have autoimmunity that's you know, contributing to this fibromyalgia, or B, they're being mistreated for their autoimmunity.
Right, so, and it's seen as something separate instead of as
a piece of it.
A piece of the autoimmunity.
Right. So, you know, that's why it's the very first one, because it's bigger than all the other problems. And sometimes to me and certain individuals, it's bigger than all of the other mistakes that get made combined, because autoimmunity is a very, very big deal. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with autoimmunity or unfamiliar with the term, this basically is when your immune system starts attacking you. Your immune system doesn't recognize you as friendly. It recognizes you as the enemy, and your immune system tries to attack and kill you. It happens a lot. There are like 20-ish known diagnoses available out there for autoimmune conditions, but autoimmune researchers know that there are actually over 100 conditions. We just haven't been able to name them all yet.
Right. And I know that I don't have the statistic in front of me. We've certainly talked about it on the show before, but something like 80% of medical doctors say they feel ill-prepared to diagnose or treat autoimmunity.
Right.
They just don't get enough
education.
They don't have the education and the training. Yeah. And I mean, and we've talked to, I think, because I remember us saying this before, like, how crazy is that? They know they're not prepared, because how many diseases are they treating that they feel like they are totally prepared for and doing a terrible job?
Right.
Here are ones that even they are saying, we don't have enough information to figure this out.
Right.
You will get referred out if they think that could be an issue. But a lot of times they don't even know what to look for to know that it could be an issue.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the sad things. And what's even more sad is that if you just look at developed Western countries, the autoimmunity rates over the last couple decades have just started to skyrocket. It's insane how much more you're seeing these conditions. I mean, I have people that come in, I'm like, okay, you know, they say, oh, I have autoimmune this, or I have autoimmune that, or I have this, or I have that, or I have something else. And I'm like, okay, great. What do you know about that? And they look at me like deer in headlights, like, what do you mean? I have this condition. I'm like, I know you have the condition, but you should be able to tell people, what is that condition? What's going on with that condition? Let me take a couple of minutes and explain the condition to you.
And I get that. I mean, I just want to say, you know, from a patient's perspective, I get how, like, the relief that comes along with feeling like there's an answer if you've suffered for a long time. I mean, so I totally get that. If you've been in pain for a long time and you've had doctors tell you, well, there's nothing wrong, well, there's nothing wrong, and you finally have a doctor that says, this is actually fibromyalgia, there is this, like, wave of relief, like, oh, my goodness, I finally have an answer. So I get that, you know, generally the next step, you know, I mean, is not to say, okay, well then, you know, what else do I need to look for? Because you're like, no, that it sounds like the end, and the doctor's making it seem like that's the end. So I get it, but at the same time, yeah, when we take a step back, it's like, how ridiculous that I don't even know what that means, right, or what caused
it. And to me, the end is just an ominous song that the Doors did, you know, 40 years ago. I mean, come on. There's always answers to what it is and what it, and why.
Well, and even
once I explain to patients, well, let me here. You tell me you have autoimmune thyroid. You have no idea what it is. Let me take 2 minutes out of my time, and let's tell you what autoimmune thyroid is. And they sit there and they're like, oh, well, that's not complicated at all. My doctor made me think it was like this super complicated problem. I'm like, yeah, no, the physiology behind it's not complicated. Well, to fix it, whole different ballgame.
You know? But we can do it.
Right.
We'll work on it. But I mean, you know, like we can work through that, but it's not, yeah, that's not a simple line. But I do think that, you know, like we said, even medical doctors are looking at autoimmunity like this is, you know, this terrifying thing that because they don't know enough about it.
Right.
They don't know enough to explain it. And
dentists don't know about autoimmunity either. And they're terrified if you tell them that you have it because they're like, well, I don't know how to fix that.
Right.
Well, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it just
makes sense.
Right. I think that it's something that has become a big enough problem that it's, you know, become more and more frustrating that doctors don't. But autoimmunity in itself, I mean, there are so many different autoimmune conditions like we talked about. And so if you have a fibromyalgia diagnosis, you come to see us, we say, actually, this is autoimmune. Then we, you know, it's like you're kind of chipping away at it. Okay, well, then autoimmune in itself is a number of boxes, like
right.
we said. So it's not like we're now going to put you in the autoimmunity box. We have to find out, okay, where's the autoimmunity?
Right.
Because
why is it important to not get in the autoimmune box, you know, on the medical side of things and the less natural side? Because on the medical side, autoimmune, the answer to all autoimmune conditions is steroids or some form of immunosuppressant. That's what they're going to do. And it's not that your immune system is overactive. It's that your immune system is just out of balance. It just needs to be balanced. It doesn't need to be suppressed.
Right. Suppressing your immune system. I mean, your immune system is doing what it's supposed to be. You know, I mean, it's supposed to be working. And if you have autoimmune, it's working. It's just not working the way that we want it to. So we don't want to turn it off. We don't want to like you to
right.
not have an immune system. That doesn't make sense. It's the same thing that we've talked about before with heartburn, where people are saying, you know, like, oh, I have too much acid. Like, you don't have too much acid. Acid is in the wrong place.
Right.
So
well,
we don't
1 to 2% may have too much acid.
Right. I mean, and yeah, that's certainly a possibility. But the vast majority of people who have been told
right.
you have too much acid or self-diagnosed like, oh, I have heartburn, so I must have too much acid. Don't. We just, the acid is not in the stomach where it needs to be.
Right.
It's where it's actually, you know, up where it's causing problems. So
right.
it's kind of the same thought process with this, that we can't just turn off the immune system.
Right. And so you have people that have, with this fibromyalgia diagnosis, they oftentimes, once we start looking, they'll have other autoimmune conditions as well. But all of this is this just big chronic inflammatory process. And we're finally, more and more doctors are starting to agree that, yeah, well, we understand that chronic inflammation is the, you know, cause of so many, you know, long-term problems, heart disease, diabetes, dementias, Alzheimer's, you name it. These are things that, you know, chronic inflammation and inflammatory process is fueling this fire. Now, then you get into this, you know, well, how do we put the fire out? Well, you know what? I think that our testing to find out, you know, the inflammatory, I think we're going to see more and more testing coming out. I know there's some people out there that are working on some other inflammatory markers to be able to look at inflammation at even smaller levels than what we see now. So we see even this micro-inflammatory response that's going on throughout the body. And that's a big part of it to me is the testing, running all of the appropriate tests to where you can actually figure out what's going on. Just going after a symptom and not figuring out what's causing that symptom, or going after, you know, it's not the answer. That's not going to fix the problem. Just blindly going after and saying, okay, we're going to treat the inflammatory response. Well, that's a problem because there are a lot of different reasons for the inflammatory response to be going on, and what components of the immune system are involved. That matters. It really, truly matters. Now, how we put that fire out may differ from person to person to person, right? And any medications that they're taking, that's going to alter that, because just because you're taking, you know, curcumin doesn't necessarily mean that it's, I mean, it's very anti-inflammatory, but if you're taking certain medications, curcumin is not the right thing for you.
No.
And that's the big rub and where people get things, you know, missed. So anyway, I digress. We made it through one mistake in that segment. So we've got about, 10 more. So when we come back after this break, we're just going to keep right on trucking. You're listening to Wellness 101. And welcome back. Here we are in the last segment. We've barely gotten through the stuff that we need to talk about for fibromyalgia. If you're just tuning in, you've missed some exciting stuff. Erin has talked her little head off over there. It's
fibromyalgia apparently makes me really angry.
Fibromyalgia is a hot button topic.
Yep. It's not anger, it's passion about
the
subject.
It is. I'm on your side.
Yes. So we've talked about all different kinds of things. Last segment, we were talking about some mistakes that are made by a lot of practitioners when treating and diagnosing fibromyalgia. And the last segment, we were talking about how the autoimmune component of fibromyalgia and how it's either overlooked or completely mistreated.
The vast majority of people who come in and have fibromyalgia have never been tested or even, you know, had autoimmunity discussed with them.
Right.
I mean, when it's brought up, they're just like, well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I had no idea why would he test? I mean, like, it just, they have no idea that it could be connected, and no one's ever even brought it up with them.
Right.
So,
and it's funny because they have the answer a lot of patients have is, well, this is, you know, this explains my pain, but, you know, they still come in, they're like, well, I have this and this and this and this. I'm like, yep, that's all pieces of it. And it takes a little bit of, you know, talking to them and walking through what's going on for them to realize, oh, wait, you mean this is all connected?
Yeah.
You mean to tell me that this is related to that?
Yeah. Fibromyalgia is a symptom generally of something else.
Right. So let's move on to mistake number two. And that is when a doctor tells you that it's all in your head. I've had patients literally tell me that they have tried to restrain themselves from climbing over a desk to a doctor to, you know, they were very angry when the doctor suggests that it's just all in their head. I've had several patients that tell me, you know what, I'm never going back to that person again.
I actually had a doctor tell me, maybe you're, because at the time I wasn't able to work, like I was not functioning. And I had a doctor say, maybe you need to get out and do things because you just have too much time to think about it. Now, if anyone has been in chronic pain, I mean, it's just for someone like, I'm not in pain because I'm thinking about pain. I'm thinking about pain because I'm in pain all the time. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, again, a lot of doctors just, you know, will not actually go that far to say, and I mean, and the doctor who said this was very, I did not say it meanly. It was like an honest, you know, I mean, I think his honest thought was, hey, maybe try this. And I'm just like, oh, I'm never going, not only am I not coming back to you, I'm not going to another medical doctor. So, you know, it just, I mean, well, and I did, but not in the conventional medical system. I mean, I was finding somewhere else to go to, but a lot of people don't get something that direct. They will get their doctor saying, you know what, let's just try antidepressants.
Right.
I mean, it's like it's a gentler, you know, with what they're saying seems gentler, but it's, I mean, we see through that, right? They actually just think that you're crazy and that, you know, or possibly that the pain is, you know, caused by depression, which it's the antidepressants aren't going to solve your pain. I mean, they're just not.
No. You're done?
That was it.
Huh.
That was it.
I was expecting you to just go, and now I was just going to wrap up the show. I wasn't sure there.
She refuses to make it that easy.
That's true.
Well, I think one of the things with them saying that it's all in your head is the fact that they're, you know, the tests that doctors, most medical doctors will run, they're not going to show anything.
Right.
And we're going to get into that. Obviously, it's not going to be today because today I've rambled way too long, I guess. But when we eventually talk about, you know, some of the potential causes that, you know, the causes that we see a lot in the clinic, no medical doctors are not generally testing unless you're going to a functional medicine practitioner, they're not going to be testing for those things. So the tests that they're running that they're able to get paid through your insurance generally won't show anything.
Right.
It's going to, every once in a while, something will pop up generally unconnected to the fibromyalgia, because fibromyalgia is not going to cause these your lab values to be all screwed up.
Right.
It's just not.
That's true. And then to shift gears just a little bit, then we have, family members of people who are dealing with fibromyalgia, and they have a family member that looks at them and be like, well, you let's just work through it. Toughen up a little bit and work through it. Or maybe you've got a brother and they're like, just stop being lazy. Come on. And they don't really understand. I mean, that's like, I don't understand.
Right. Because, well, and then it becomes
why people can be so mean.
But I think it's a lack of understanding. I mean, because I got that. It was really frustrating. I mean, we've talked about on this show. I mean, I'm very, type A, like doing things all the time. I mean, that's just, it's my personality. But it was such a drastic.
It's true.
It was such a drastic change then when I wasn't able to do anything. And I mean, because I had gone my whole life being someone who was getting a million things done, having a million things that were going on at the same time and kind of thrived in that situation. And then all of a sudden to be like, I can't accomplish one task during the day. And I had family members and friends that just said, well, maybe just at least every once in a while, just, maybe toughen, get tough and just, go and do this anyway. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, that's what I've been doing for so long. And if I could, I would do that. But I think it's hard for, like I said, for people to comprehend, but it becomes more of, it's not just like a medical diagnosis, it's almost a moral diagnosis
right at
that point. And I think that's what makes the recovery that much harder, because there's this, like compassion fatigue when the people around you are just like, okay, I've tried to be understanding, but I mean, it's taking too long. You're not getting better.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, this whole it's all in your head thing. Fibromyalgia is not in your head. It's a metabolic condition. And it's practically impossible to medicate your way out of a metabolic condition. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how the body is designed. It's not designed to take some medication and, all of a sudden your metabolic system is corrected. It's just not how we're designed. So.
Right. No, I agree. And I think the funny thing, that because I've heard this too, when people, I actually had someone say to me who had been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, they're like, they just want to tell me it's all in my head. And I want to tell them, like, yeah, it is in my head. And it's everywhere else in my body also. Like, yeah, my head is not immune to it. It's just like, that's not the only place that I'm experiencing pain. Like, my whole body is off at this point. And so I think that's a good way to put it.
So remember in previous shows when we talk about how when you're feeling a little stressed out, it's nice to take a deep breath and just maybe meditate or something. Aaron, it might be a good idea.
I thought this was going to be directed at me.
She's gotten a little heated over here today. It's actually very interesting.
I've said this numerous times, but I think that if you've been through it and actually, going through it and getting to the other side where I'm not dealing with it anymore. I get it. I get what people are going through, and I get how it was frustrating to me at the time. It's even more frustrating now because I know that you're able to, actually do something about it.
It's fixable.
Right. And
it
I think
fixable.
That's what makes it, that's what's, I think, harder for me to deal with, at this point than it was even back when I was actually dealing with the condition, because at that point I thought there's got to be a better way, but I didn't know for sure that there was. And now I do. Now I know that, you can actually get to a point where you're not in pain at all during the day.
Imagine that.
And not on prescriptions.
Imagine that.
And so I think that's what, that's where a lot of this comes from. And really, I think that's one of the reasons, us working together on a lot of this, and I've said this before, if you look at the top functional medicine practitioners, like your Mark Hyman and Amy Myers and Terry Walls. I think all of them.
And TJ Williams.
And TJ Williams. Either have had something that they have personally gone through or that someone close to them has gone through.
Right.
And I think that makes it, because, I mean, I've said this on the show before, I think that's one of the differences, you know, with TJ is that, I mean, you don't escape it. You don't just see it in the office. You know, I mean,
I go home to it every day.
So it's, you know, I mean, but that does change how you practice because you're not able to, you know, you don't just assume that, oh, well, I told them to do this and now they're better. Like, you know if it works or not.
Right. Well, so that's about all the time we have. We'll wrap this up. We're going to get lots of emails for Aaron and probably phone calls, too. That's going to be fun and exciting. It makes it entertaining. So anyway, we're about out of time. Go to our website, theinstituteofnaturalhealth.com. Call us, 314-293-8123. Follow us on all our social media. If you want to email us, email us. We'll be back for part two next week with this. For Aaron, I'm Dr. TJ. This has been Wellness 101. Thanks for listening.